Good morning. You guys know we're not at a funeral, right? We have a living hope. We have something to sing about, and I'm very thankful for my salvation this morning. Very thankful for what God has done. I have some guests here, some friends today. We came with six, and we're leaving with seven people. You figure that out. But it's been a good week. The only reason that we've seen 49 people saved was because the Lord Jesus Christ showed up and met with us. And so we're so thankful. My name is John Stroop, and I get to help bad guys and girls become good guys and girls. That's what I get to do. That's my job. And I'm with Freeway Ministries, and we have a table out there. A few resources. We have a podcast called One Broken Life. You can get a podcast card. Kind of explore the lives of individuals that have been radically changed, hear their stories. Have three books. One is a devotional. One is a book on enabling. And one I just finished last year, it's a devotional book. Those are out there as well. And some other information about our ministry will be out there later if you'd like to meet with us. This morning I want to talk to you on the subject of when God makes you desperate. That was my word last year, desperate. When's the last time you were desperate for God? Honestly? Have you ever prayed, Lord, make me desperate again? That's when revival breaks out. That's when lives are changed. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I have no idea what verses you have. Pretty much the same verses I have, so praise the Lord for that. I want you to know you should be proud of your pastor. He has done a wonderful job loving on us and hosting us and taking care of us. Thank you, Pastor John, for your generosity, your love. We appreciate you, brother. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. That was his first problem. Yeah. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, and Hannah had no children. The man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Phinehas, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 6, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable before the Lord because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, she was provoked. She provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And Elkanah was an idiot. No, it didn't say that. But so Hannah arose, and they'd finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget me, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Verse 18. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then she arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wow. So much. Have you ever been desperate? Has there been a day in your life where you were in desperation? People who come from my background, from addiction, understand what desperation's all about. When you're desperate, you do things you don't normally do. You take steps you won't normally take. When you're desperate, you're not yourself. You're not normal anymore. Something happens, and it's not always a bad thing. Desperation can be a healthy motivator. We're going to look at a woman who was desperate. The name Hannah, it means grace. Her name means grace. She is desperate. She can't find peace. She can't find joy. She can't find purpose. She's a broken woman. Hannah was with a woman who had a problem only God could fix. She had a barren womb. In the culture Hannah lived in, children were seen as a 401k. True. Women who couldn't have children were seen as cursed. Someone could take care of you when you got older. Someone would be there to provide for you when you got older. They would live out your family name. You would have an extra hand to help ends meet around the house. J.D. Greer puts it this way: barrenness, in effect, is an effective metaphor for hopelessness. There's no future for Hannah. There's no power to invent a future. Not many people think about children this way. We tend to put more value on what kind of job a person has, where a person goes to school, how a person looks. But from this point of view, in Hannah's perspective, in her culture, that puts a woman's significance and security in her children. She can't have children. Practically speaking, she has no significance, no life, no hope. Why would God close Hannah's womb? Why would God allow Hannah to suffer this way through persecution year after year after year? The Bible teaches that her husband marries another woman, and I believe that he did so to have children. Now, I just want you to think about this for a minute. You can be a husband, you can be a wife this morning, either one. Can you imagine the conversation? I'm sorry this just isn't working out. I love you. I want to be with you, but you can't have children. I need another wife. He could have divorced her, could have left her, but he didn't. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, on the day Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Hannah, to Peninnah's wife, to all her sons and daughters. And then it says in verse 6, it says, her rival used to provoke her and grievously and irritate her because the Lord closed her womb. Look at this. It went on year by year. As often as they went to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and could not eat. Don't miss this morning. I believe God wanted Hannah desperate. I believe God wanted Hannah in a situation where nothing else would fix her. Listen, Hannah couldn't eat. She was disassociated from everybody else. Nothing could satisfy her. It went on year after year after year after year until she finally sought the Lord. Do you believe this is the first time Hannah prayed for a son? You think this is the first time Hannah went to church and got on her knees and prayed? It was different this time. It wasn't the same old church service. Her life was different. She was in a different place. She was desperate. God finally put Hannah in a place where all she wanted was God, where all she wanted was Him, and all she could trust is Him, and her husband couldn't satisfy her. The things of the world didn't satisfy her. She didn't want a double portion. She wanted God. When's the last time you were desperate for God? When's the last time you sought God desperately, church member? What can we learn from this section of Scripture? A couple things. These are simple truths. First simple truth this morning is this. Desperation drove Hannah to the Lord. Drove her to God. I wonder how long this went on. How long did she suffer? How long was she provoked? How long was she irritated? I'll give you a hint. At least 4 years. How do we know that? Peninnah had sons, plural, daughters, plural. She had at least two sons and at least two daughters. And it was a yearly trip. And every time they went to church, it should have been a moment of worship. It should have been a moment of praise. It should have been a moment of feasting. It should have been a moment of thanking God for what he's done. But for Hannah, it was miserable. At least 4 years. Verse 7, year by year she was provoked. The Hebrew word provoked, it means irritated by the rival wife. She watched this woman have children by her husband. Think about it for a minute. Think about watching her husband have joy because he has another son. Think about hearing the words, oh, did you know Peninnah's pregnant again? Wow. Year by year, she tried the remedies. Year by year, she did the lucky charms. Year by year, she took all the villagers' advice. Year by year, nothing worked. Year by year, another birthday. Year by year, another child. Year by year, what should have been a time of worship and celebration was a time of suffering. She didn't even want to go to church anymore. Her husband couldn't comfort her. Material things didn't work. They were all short-lived. She was broken. She was empty. Listen to me, somebody. She was finally desperate. Oh, she was finally in the place God wanted her to be. 1 year, her life was changed forever. 1 year, she didn't want the food, and 1 year, she didn't want more stuff from her husband. 1 year, she stopped listening to the snide remarks. 1 year, while everybody's eating and everybody's drinking, she arose from the table. Whew. Verse 9, this is where I believe her life was changed. Verse 9 says she arose. She got up. She went to the house of the Lord. Is there one can I identify with Hannah this morning? Is there one listening to the sound of my voice? Think back to your time, your moment of desperation. Where you finally arose. Where you finally sought the Lord above all things. Where God was the only thing you wanted. Maybe this morning is your time to arise. Maybe this morning God's got you in a place where you're finally desperate. Luke 15, the prodigal son, one of my favorite stories. This is recovery 101. He's in a pig pen. He's a spoiled little brat. I call him King Baby. Give me what I want that's not really mine and give it to me now. His dad gives him what he thinks is his. He leaves. He goes off into the far country. He joins himself to the far country people. And when the money's gone, all of his rent of friends go with it. And now he's broke. He's in the pig pen. He's in the worst possible position a Jewish boy could be in. He's defiled. He's empty. He's starving. The Bible says no one would give him anything, and he longed for the pods that the pigs ate. He was in a perfect place. God had him where he wanted him to be. And it says, he says, in that moment of brokenness, he came to himself. And he said, I will get up. I will arise, and I will go back to my father. It's the same words in Luke 15, 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have more than enough bread? I perish with hunger. I will arise. Today, I'm so glad nothing in this world ever satisfied me. I'm so glad the medications didn't fix me. I'm so glad the relationships I sought did not work. I'm so glad changing locations didn't help. I'm so glad getting a better job didn't fix my life. But when I was in a moment of desperation in an old dirty prison cell, a poor, indigent, uneducated, drug addict prisoner, I reached my hands to the God of heaven when I read my Bible and realized I was a poster child for Christianity according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was in that moment of desperation my life has never been the same. Thank God for being desperate. Nowhere else to turn. Nothing else could fix me. That's where God wanted me to be, church. And that's where God wants you this morning. What does this desperation look like practically? This is what I believe desperation looks like. I wrote this down. Desperation comes when nothing else gets in the way of you and God. He becomes priority number one. Over everything, he's sought out first, he's thought of first, and the things of this world begin to grow strangely dim. Desperation makes you seek God. Second simple truth, Hannah's desperation made her a theologian. Oh, that's good. Can you see her? She's a country girl. Any country girls here this morning? Verse 9, the scholars describe Eli's seat. He's perched up in his little throne, in his little tent in Shiloh. He's very religious, and he's the high priest. He's sitting there in his little throne, and here comes Hannah. She doesn't even talk to him. She doesn't ask him how he's doing. She doesn't give him her prayer request. She acts like she doesn't even see him. You know why? Because she didn't come to meet with Eli. He couldn't help her. She came to meet with God. She knew Eli couldn't fix her problems. Look what it says in verse 10. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Verse 12 and 13, she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli seen her mouth. And Hannah was speaking in her heart, but her lips did not move. Her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had come from the bar. You know why he didn't hear her voice? Because she wasn't talking to him. She knew a man couldn't fix her problems. She came to meet with God. She prayed to the Lord. She sought the Lord. Do you know the Lord loves to answer prayer? This country girl learned a lot about prayer through her suffering, through the bed of affliction, through her pain. Because her broken heart, she learned how to pray. She didn't learn this in Bible college. She learned this in the school of hard knocks. Her pain made her a better theologian than the high priest, guys. As a matter of fact, you won't find a more godly woman in the Bible than Hannah. I dare you to try. No other woman seen year after year going to the temple but Hannah. Hannah's the first person making a vow and fulfilling a vow to the Lord in the entire Bible. And she prays God's covenant name, Yahweh, in chapter 2, 18 times she uses his name. She knew a lot about God because of her desperation. How did she become such a powerhouse? God made her desperate. Verse 10 says she's in bitterness of soul. Here's a Bible nugget for you, student, this morning. The bitterness of soul, it's used of Ruth when she's mourning over her son in Ruth chapter 1, verse 13. And the word bitterness of soul is also used of Job in Job chapter 10, verse 1 when he was suffering. God used Ruth. God used Job. God used Hannah when they were desperate. You say, my theology won't allow this kind of thing. I can't see a good God doing something to me to make me in a miserable position, allowing me to suffer. I don't care what your theology makes you believe. All I care about is what the Bible says. And the Bible says this in verse 5 and 6. Verse repeated, one after another. It says, the Lord closed her womb. And the next verse, the Lord closed her womb. What could God do with a people who are desperate without relief this morning? The Bible's full of people like this.
This is good theology for us today. God meets men and women in their desperation, and he uses desperate people to change the course of history. And my last simple truth as we close is this: because of God's desperation, because of Hannah's desperation, she meets God. She meets him. Listen, Hannah didn't need a list of rules. Hannah didn't need regulations, Bible translations. Hannah didn't need somebody to tell her what kind of clothes to wear to church. She didn't need that. She didn't need somebody to tell her she was messed up. She knew that already. She needed to meet with God. The spiritual authority of her day was in the dumps. No good. He couldn't even discern what she was doing in the church. But her posture of brokenness, she was closer to God than the high priest Eli. Do you remember when you met with God? Do you remember when everything changed for you? Think back. You were desperate. Something happened to Hannah that day in the temple. She knew this wasn't her average prayer meeting. Whew. She got up from that altar. Her life was changed forever. And I'm going to show you this morning. This is really good. I want you to think about this. We're about to give an invitation. Hannah's life was not changed because God gave her something. Hannah's life was not changed because she had a child or she got pregnant. And I can prove it with scripture. Hannah's life was changed because she knew she met with God Almighty. Because she got up. She got up from the altar. Look what it says in verse 18. Read it with me. And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate. She couldn't eat. She was depressed. Am I talking to somebody this morning? She got up and she ate. Her face was no longer sad. She rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. It'd been a long time. Years. She came to church and she dusted her Bible off, got to church, and she sung lies because she didn't believe them. She didn't want to be there. She didn't think God was listening. And then finally, one day, she met with God. They went back to their house, and Ramnah and Eli knew his wife, and then the Lord remembered her. So all that other stuff happened before she got a child. It was that day she knew she met with God. Whew. Warren Wiersbe says this, and I don't know what you paid to come in here this morning, but this is worth the price of admission. Prayer gets us in the place where we could be trusted with the answer. Prayers work. Hannah, in her desperation, met with God of the Bible, and we see the very first living sacrifice here, Samuel. And God would change the course of the history of the Hebrew people through this boy, Samuel. You know what the name Samuel means? Heard of the Lord. Or God, hear, heard me pray. She names him that. Wow. The first established prophet of Israel, the one to anoint King David. Years ago, I got an application from a guy. He was 55 years old. His whole family gave up on him. He'd been in and out of prison his whole entire life. He lived in a camper across the street from the house his dad bought him because he stole all the copper out of the house and it had no copper left in it. No running water, living like an animal. His dad gave up on him. I say that with respect. They loved him, but they didn't know what to do with him. But he has a daughter. She loved her daddy. Beautiful family. Beautiful family. Good family. Good people. He's the black sheep. She said, "Dad, I want to get married. I met a man. My dream is to have my daddy walk me down the aisle at my wedding. But you can't do that, Dad, because you're strung out on meth again. I found this place called Freeway Ministries. Would you apply to that program and get your life together so you could be there at my wedding, Dad? Show that next slide. That's him. That's Brad. I don't know if you've ever watched The Goonies, but he looks a lot like Sloth from The Goonies in that picture. That was Brad Denny. That's what he looked like. He comes to the program, gets saved, gets discipled, enters the house, gets trained, becomes a house leader. Next slide. That's him praying over his daughter. A year and a half later, that's him walking his daughter down the aisle at her wedding. A proud dad. You can't even recognize who he is. We sent him out to Tennessee to start a Freeway Ministry recovery home, a part of our Freeway Tennessee. God called that sucker to preach. He sent me that picture on the right. He said, I think I'm going to go to jail for a stolen identity. Reverend Brad Denny. What happened to him? Hey, listen to me this morning. Don't you miss this. He was desperate. He got to the place where he could care less about anything else. And this morning, I believe your pride, some of you, and you being afraid to get uncomfortable in front of other people this morning is going to keep you from the biggest breakthrough you ever had in your life. Because there are men and women in this church right now that look really good on the outside. But you got stuff going on in your life, and you're desperate. Can I encourage you this morning, church member? Would you meet with God? Whatever that thing is that's going on in your life, whatever that thing is that's got you in that position, let's be real. You didn't want to come here this morning. But this morning, you can meet with God in your desperation and walk out of this place worshiping the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Christian, are you still desperate? Are you desperate for God? Are you hungry this morning for the Lord? Are you thirsty for him this morning? That's revival. Being hungry and thirsty for something that only God could satisfy. Let's bow your heads with me this morning. Hannah's desperation drove her to the Lord. Hannah's desperation turned her into a Bible theologian. And at the end, in Hannah's desperation, she met with God. I wonder if there's somebody listening to the sound of my voice in a church this big. You could say in your heart, you've never truly met with the Lord. You're listening to the sound of my voice, and you hear me talking to you right now, and God has stirred your heart, and you say, you know, there's never really been a day where I realized that I wasn't right with God on my own. I became in a place where I realized nothing in this world could satisfy me. I just want you to know today that Jesus is here to meet with you. Pastor John's here in the front. I'm here. If this is the moment for you that God is bringing you into a relationship with him and you know you're not right with the Lord and you want to meet with Jesus, I'm going to encourage you this morning to take that walk down that aisle. Don't just get on these altars. Come to Pastor John. Come to me. Come to one of these leaders and just say this simple word. These simple words, I'm desperate for God. And we'll know you need to be saved this morning. But for everybody else, listen, I know we got to go to Sunday school class. I understand that. Are you desperate this morning, church? What if God sent me here to bring you out of that place you're in right now to get you in a place where you can leave this place truly worshiping the Lord. Let's meet with him. Let's sincerely meet with God this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for these truths in your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can look back at Hannah and we can say, oh, God, that's me. That's me. Church, year after year after year after year, miserable. Because there's something in our heart, Lord, that only you can fix. Father, if there's a woman in this room this morning that can identify with Hannah, God, would you bring her to this altar? In her desperation, if she could come to the place where you could use her for the rest of her life, where nothing else could satisfy her. Father, if there's a man this morning, a church member that's just stagnant, it's been a long time since they were desperate for you, their Christianity has become boring at best, God, would they come and say, God, make me desperate. And Father, if there's a church member or even somebody that walked in this morning not right with you, God, would you let them know this is the moment that you want to change their life forever and bring them into relationship with you. Use this message for your glory. Let this church respond accordingly. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As God begins to speak to you, church member, would you respond? I feel like all over the building, people need to truly respond to that message. Make me desperate, Lord. As God convicts you, you come.